Aren't you thankful this morning that He will do that, lift us up to Him? We can sense Him close by us. It's good to be here, good to be able to greet one another in the precious name of Jesus. I'd like to look, if you'd want to follow along with us, over in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And I'd like to start with verse 17. As we read this chapter, I thought about the song came to my mind, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine." The very last verse says, "Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging victory is secure, for his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine." And the question is, can be put to each one of us today: who is on the Lord's side? And I hope that each one of you can say, "I am." Praise the Lord. It's a personal thing. We can't choose for each other. We can't even choose for our children. We'd love to. But each one of us personally have to say, "I am on the Lord's side." Let's look now in 1 Kings, verse 8, chapter 18, verse 17. 1 Kings 18, 17. "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the Lord answered him, and the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken." I believe we'll stop right there at this point. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee this morning. We thank thee for thy mercy, for thy goodness to us. We thank thee, dear Father, that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever, that with thee is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We thank thee this morning that we can come to thee knowing that thou art the solid rock We can put our feet upon the rock of ages, and that thou will hold us secure, and that thou will keep us even when the raging winds of time assail us. We're so thankful, Lord, that we have a solid rock, a solid foundation. We pray this morning that thou will speak to us again. Thou will deal with each one of us, and Father, that the word might be clear to us. Thou will give us victory as we walk with the Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The scriptures that we're reading this morning is a time when it was a time of spiritual, dearth in the land. Not only was there no rain, but there was a spiritual dearth, a spiritual barrenness, a spiritual, the people had gone after other gods, they'd gone after Balaam, they had their own prophets. And we find here, as we start these verses off, the king, even the king who should have been the leader in the land, was an ungodly man. And his wife Jezebel was also an ungodly one. We hear people talk about decking themselves out like Jezebel or painting themselves up like Jezebel. And it's a lot like the world that we're living in today. She wanted to draw attention to herself. And the king was in the same place. This was the same one that saw the vineyard of Naboth and envied him and wanted it and went in and crawled in his bed and turned his face to the wall and pouted. Here's the same man that's supposed to be leading his people and be an example. And his example was nothing but wrong. And he was told, well, it's no problem. You can have it if you want it. And all you need to do is get rid of the good man. And you can have the vineyard. This is the way this king operated and his wife. And the old prophet of God had been hidden away for a good time, and there had been no rain in the land. I just had to think of how it is out there right now. We haven't had rain for a while, but it's not been really that long. But you walk out across the lawn, and the grass crumples under your feet. You hear it crunching. It's dry. If you don't water your gardens, they twist all up and begin to go the other way. There was a terrible situation because it had not just been a little while, been a long time, that there was sore famine in the land. And now here the old prophet arrived on the scene, and he told one of the other prophets to go tell Ahab that he was there. Obadiah, he called him. And Obadiah was the one that had taken 100 prophets and hid them out in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab had searched for Elijah. He figured that this man's prayers had stopped the rain and that punishment was upon them all because of their disobedience to God. No doubt he wouldn't admit that. But now they come face to face. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" It's the very same way that we live in the day we're living today. If there's calamity, if there's the showers of blessings stop coming down, must be you, that old prophet's been praying, that old man of God. Must be him. He's the one, probably. Well, it's true. He's been praying all right. And his prayers have reached through. But the sins of the people were those things that were causing the skies to be brazen. Their prayers ascended no higher than the area, the room they were in. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And the man of God said, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. And so he said, go out and get all these prophets. What would we say here? We've got one man of God, so let's say we've got a church here. One congregation that is seeking to serve the Lord. And the old man of God, of course, his influence reached afar out. And let's look over here on the other side and say, now we've got 450 prophets of Baal. And maybe we've got 450 congregations. It's popular. Yep, we go to church. We go through the motions and go home. That was a good service we were in. And so on. And they have their big conventions maybe and get together and encourage one another in their false pursuits and their false prophets. Well, Ahab sent out and gathered all the prophets together. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. I wonder if a lot of them remembered maybe the days when the fire of God fell and consumed the fat sacrifices, and when there was not a spiritual dearth in the land. I wonder if they looked back, if they remembered, and the words of this old prophet was bringing home the truth to them. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. I believe he meant that you can't halt between two opinions. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to go all the way. If you're going to serve God, you have to be done with the sin business. If you're going to serve God, you have to be done with the world, the flesh, the devil, all of it. You have to turn your back on the whole thing and go all the way through with God. And don't just start on the narrow way, but stay on the narrow way. Stay on the old paths. Where are the good ways? The way of rest for the soul. It's the only thing that will get us through to heaven. Well, then Elijah came out and said, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. I remember just a little bit later when Elijah thought he was the only one that was left. He didn't realize that God's church that he was a member of, he didn't realize they had 7,000 people hadn't bowed their knees to Baal. So it looked pretty small, one against 450. But when you could see it through the eyes of God, there were a lot of people that were still standing for the truth and standing for what was right and not halting between two opinions. They were on the Lord's side. So he said, let's just put it to the test. If you give me a bullock, you take a bullock, and we'll cut them up in pieces. Don't put any fire underneath of them. And then he said, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So Elijah said to the prophets, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it first, for you're many. Call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning to evening until noon. From morning, even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. They were really excited. They were willing to stay in there all the way from morning till noon. And they leaped on the altar. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey or prevent you, he sleepeth, must be awakened. The old man of God was trying to get their attention. This enthusiastic, all that you want to put into it yourself will do nothing and avail nothing unless you have God. And if you want to read something, read the little book, The Way of the Calvary Way. And in the front of the little book, it tells about a man who had been an evangelist for years. I believe it was in Europe. And he said he suddenly realized that what he had once had, that once made him effective minister, seemed to have ebbed away, and he had it no longer. So he said he put himself into it. He used more dynamic force, more fiery whatever. Problem, it was wildfire, and it didn't accomplish anything. It didn't go to those people's hearts. It didn't strike conviction to their hearts. And the altars were barren. And he heard that there was a revival going on down in one part of the world. The missionaries were down there, and there was real revival. And he called some of them up and had them come up. He wanted to have them come. There was revival. And they came in, and he was wondering, you know, why was it barren in the area where it once the Lord had helped him. And they began to just simply point out a few things to him. And God was faithful to that man, and that man was willing to humble himself down and come clear down to the foot of the cross. And when he did, the Lord met his need. And then things changed. He began to be able to preach, and God directed the messages, and the hearts of people were touched, and things happened. The fire of God was there. The Holy Spirit was there and was able to go out and speak to people. Before, he had put everything that he had into it. He'd used all of his talent. He'd used all of his exuberance. He'd used everything he had to try to make this thing work. And it just simply fell flat. And you know how it is. I believe that it's the same way in Sunday school teachers and people that lead the prayer meeting or whatever part you have in the service. If you try to do it in your own self, if you try to put just yourself into it, it will fall flat. But if you simply do your best for the glory of God, God can intervene and help you, and you can sense that the presence of the Lord was there and that the fire of God was there. It don't have to be wildfire. It can be from the very center of the heart. Well, they cried aloud. They cut themselves with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it was came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied till the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. The skies were completely brass to them. God was not listening to them. They were following other gods, and the ear of God was turned against them. He was their enemy. It's an awful thing to be an enemy of God. If we love the world, we are an enemy of God. If we follow the flesh, we are an enemy of God. If the devil is involved in our lives, we're an enemy of God. Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. It was broken down. And he took the right amount of stones, 12 of them, and one for each one of the tribes, and he put them there. The stones, with these stones, he built the altar in the name of the Lord. He was not doing this in himself. He was following God's direction. And then he said to them, he said, he put the wood in order and cut the bullock up and laid it on there. And he said, take 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. In other words, we don't want any fake stuff going on. We don't want any false prophet type thing going on here. Just douse it good where everybody will know this is not man doing this, but God is the one. If there's fire, it's going to come from him. And they did it three times, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trenches. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And then Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. The church was purified. What was popular, what was standing out as something that really got the people's attention, Elijah got rid of all that. And now he said, there is a sound of abundance of rain. And I believe today that you and I, that we can't say, oh, I know who you're talking about. It's him. I know who you're talking about. It's her. She's the one that's the gossip that talks and talks. And he's the one that does this and so on. Just get our fingers and point right back at ourselves and say, Lord, I need God. I need to steal away and get alone in my house myself. And when the God of heaven hears from heaven, the abundance of rain will come and the showers of blessing will come down. And if you're revived and I'm revived and this one's revived and we're all revived, we're going to have revival. But it's as each one of us obey God and get down and humble ourselves before him, then the Lord will do what no man can do. We've got to have his help. Let's need prayer.